morning, everyone, and it's a pleasure to welcome you back to Sigma Studios for another edition of the Sigma Podcast, where I actually have the pleasure of announcing this myself. We are joined by Emily, the new CEO of Sigma. Well done and congratulations, Emily.
Thank you very much.
And we also have Eman, founder, owner of Sigma. Eman, an old friend who we actually have known each other. I did the maths last time, 28 years. So
28 years.
28 years since the first time we met on the hardwood at Ta'ali, because we used to play basketball.
Correct. I kicked your ass plenty of times so I'm expecting you to come back at me.
Let's not go there.
With this podcast.
But yeah, it's a pleasure to have you, Eman. It's a pleasure to have you, Emily, Eman. It's well done.
Thank you.
And maybe we can start off with you, Emily. How did this come about? Your career here at Sigma and Eman telling you you're going to become the CEO.
It developed slowly, quite organically, I think. Mm-hmm. I joined the company 4 years ago.
Okay.
After 11 years in events, so now another 4 years on top of that, and I've just seen Sigma grow so much since 2019. We've expanded into so many different regions, and the company has just gone from strength to strength. So
you joined right in the middle of COVID, right?
Just before. I got in the last Sigma before COVID, and then we all went digital.
So if I may ask, COVID, how hard was that for you guys weather the storm? To then also lay the groundwork for what you've become today.
It was, as a company, was extremely tough, as in not just how to survive, but how to, you know, protect the employees, as in how to keep going, keep the brand relevant, mm-hmm. and make sure that you're there to come out strong at the other end. Very hard. As in,
yeah, it was a nightmare. I'll go a step further, Trev. I'll tell you one thing. Around March 2020 was the time where I had been looking at a potential sale of the company. Mm-hmm. Quite a few people have heard of this, but never officially, right? Mm-hmm. But I can say it here. We had been working on all the due diligence, and I was looking at an exit, mm-hmm. right? Past all the legal due diligence, commercial due diligence, everything squeaky clean. And because of COVID, obviously, the thing just couldn't happen because the earnout would have been disastrous. So we both called off the sale of the Sigma Group. This was March 2020. And from a point where you think
you're gonna sell,
living the life, to a point where you feel you're becoming redundant because the events industry is going to tatters. Mm-hmm. That was painful, but it also taught me that I cannot remain as I am. I used to take pride in saying I'm just an events guy. I think some people still remember me saying, happily, I'm just an events guy. This is what I love doing, and this is what you see me doing for the rest of my life. But yeah, COVID taught me I need to adapt or I'm going to become redundant. So shortly after COVID, okay, lost the sale, and we had to let go some people because of the uncertainty. Mm. I had to let go of the office in Manila, tell my wife and kids, listen, we're going to have to go.
You had moved to Manila.
I was living in Manila for over a year, trying to expand the business outside the comfort zone of Malta. Mm-hmm. And so extremely painful, yes, those couple of months. But then soon I realized that we need to look outside events. So mm-hmm. Sigma Group ventured into media, so we became an affiliate. Sigma Group also branched into venture capital, so mm-hmm. we launched a VC fund, a 20 million euro VC fund. We can expand on that maybe.
Ikigai, right?
Ikigai Ventures,
we'll
correct.
Talk about Ikigai later on, it's on the agenda.
And something else is that we launched during COVID, so not only are we trying to survive, but we felt we need to do more for others. And during COVID, we also launched the Sigma Foundation.
So, many things to discuss. You've just mentioned the Sigma Foundation, so I'd like to just take a quick detour and discuss the Sigma Foundation. Mm-hmm. Sigma Foundation is, I believe Keith Marshall is involved over there. through various different ventures, he raises funds in order to assist in various projects around the world.
Correct.
Why did you feel you needed to do that? And why, if you don't mind me asking, the rest of the world but not here?
There's so much that still needs to be done worldwide, and it's in places where we operate. Okay. Sigma Group is not a Malta company. Sigma Group started in Malta, but Sigma Group has solid presence in Africa, in Southeast Asia, in Latin America. So we feel we owe it to those places, third world countries, mm-hmm. where we are doing events, where we're thriving, where we're expanding globally. Yet, close to us, where we're doing those events, there's kids who don't have a warm meal on their table. They don't have access to schools. They don't have access to basic healthcare, right? And to reflect the global mandate of the Sigma Group, we felt that we needed to do something also in those areas that need the most. So we have projects in Africa, we have projects in Latin America, we have projects in Southeast Asia. We also do projects in Malta, but it's not a Maltese focused charity. It's a global.
Okay.
It's a charity with a global mandate. Yes.
I'm gonna come back to Malta again, Emily. Sigma this year, it's becoming bigger.
Massive.
Okay, massive. I don't use the word better, but obviously when you're becoming bigger, you're becoming massive. The connotation is you're going to become better as well. You're moving. You're moving to Marsa. You're moving into the heart of the island. So you're getting into the port area, which has a particular significance for us Maltese.
What a beautiful location. All the locals who have never been to the area, it's a hidden gem.
It is a hidden gem. It is. When they were working on the hills in Mars, I believe it's called Spencer Hill, and used to take a diversion through dock number 6, Bacir numru 6, and you'd go down and go around. You could actually drive through that hill.
Oh my God, amazing.
Now, first part of the question is, how did that come around? And second part of the question is, what should people expect this time around? What should be different than Ta'ani?
How it came about is, and this has been a plan in the making for years, we've been hoping to always keep Sigma growing, you know, as in you can't stop.
Mm-hmm.
And we outgrew the last venue. We're always
looking. You outgrew the two previous venues, because I still remember the first venue was the Ice Arena, right?
Correct.
And that, then the tent in Ta'ani.
Yes. You grow, you need to look at new areas. And while the location that we chose might be mm-hmm. unconventional, a little bit less traditional, it's so much more exciting. As in, why limit yourself to mm-hmm. a traditional event space when you can look at using these amazing buildings and these
structures
for something like
that? Get me wrong. It costs us much more to keep the show in Malta then go to a facility, state-of-the-art facility in Berlin, in Barcelona, bigger, with ACs, with all the facilities, catering, parking. It costs us way more to do the event in Malta than to move to a big city which has better infrastructure, connections.
So why? Why do it?
We love Malta. Malta was the host country that gave us the first shot. Malta remains today the hub of iGaming in Europe, despite what some naysayers may say. Yes, there's challenges. There are many challenges.
Yeah.
But today, Malta remains, whether one likes it or not, remains the hub of iGaming in Europe.
In Europe.
And we felt we owe it to the country, right? Sigma today is like a big fish in a small pond. That's the analogy I like to use. So during Sigma, there's a feeding frenzy. Mm-hmm. Taxis, restaurateurs, hoteliers, they're all thriving during that week. And the prices of
water taxis this year, will we have any water
taxis? Oh, absolutely. Maybe you want to expand on that one.
Absolutely. We're going to have water taxis operating from St. Julian's, from Sliema, from Valletta.
So you're still going to use the St. Julian's? Well, you don't have
hotels, right?
Hotels, yes.
They're still there.
But I presume Valletta will become the, let's call it, the evening capital for Sigma.
And the majority of people will move to Valletta, accommodations in Valletta. Correct. There's beautiful hotels.
So without taking business away from any cities and towns, in the past, Sigma during the day was in Ta'ali.
Mm-hmm.
Then the focus shifted to St. Julian's.
Yeah.
Valletta's a gem.
Yes.
Right? So this year, we're trying our best to do the event during the day. The focus from Ta'ali is shifting to Marsa,
mm-hmm.
and in the evening from St. Julian's shifting to Valletta. So all our dinners, the awards night, everything is shifting to Valletta in mm-hmm. the evening. We're encouraging our delegates also to spend time in the evening in Valletta. So we're expecting to see Republic Street thriving with entrepreneurs.
So Valletta is going to become a Sigma campus?
Those few days?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's Freshers Week now anyway, so we can use the campus.
A tech city by night, yes.
It will be a tech city by night. I actually think, given what Valletta show signifies, I think it was actually a great choice to use and show off our capital, because it's a hell of a capital. Let's be honest about that. How many fortified cities are there like that around the world?
Couldn't agree more.
So,
Couldn't agree more.
But how did it come about? Honestly now, so how did you negotiate? What sort of assistance are you giving? Because as far as I know, this isn't coming cheap for you, Eman, at all, right?
Well, no, it costs us much more to keep it here.
Mm-hmm.
We have been trying to secure that space, the MMH, for the past, I think, 4 years, 5 years.
Okay.
So discussions were always ongoing, slow, at times frustrating. Where you feel like I want
you want decisions to be taken.
Yeah, and you know me, right? We want decisions fast, because speed beats
speed
size any time of day in business. Mm-hmm. We've been working on this for a number of years. Finally, we got the concession from the government mm-hmm. to allow, because the venue doesn't allow for events like this to happen unless there is a concession. Mm-hmm. At government level to allow it to happen. We finally got the concession. The government recognizes that Sigma has become so important and
to the
in the national interest, right? In the best
to
national
the economy.
Interest.
You Correct. Play a significant role now to the economy.
Correct. It's not only an event of Eman Police. Now it's an event that is really helping the gaming industry, helping to put Malta on the map in the gaming industry. So we got the permit to hold the event, and it was a race against time to make sure that the venue can meet all the safety standards to accommodate 25,000 people.
So you're envisaging 25,000 people. And how is it? Full already? Stands? Everything already sold?
Packed.
Full. Yes. Look at her eyes lighting up as she says it.
It's one of those wonderful challenges, mm-hmm. turning a space like that into an expo center.
Okay. So what should we expect? I mean, usually it's Malta Week, right? It's a whole week of activity. So what is the plan this year?
The entire week will be full, starting from Monday all the way to Friday. There'll be stuff happening every single night, all day.
Such as?
Parties, sports, dinners, football tournaments, poker tournaments, award dinners, charity auctions,
mm-hmm.
anything you can think of.
Basketball.
We're using MMA the pavilion. We're using the basketball pavilion in Ta'ali for mixed martial arts evening. So we have fighters flying in from all over the world. We're doing this with Centurion. I send my warmest regards to Gallo, who's the president of Centurion.
You struck a deal recently regarding Centurion. Well, with which network was that? There was a particular...
CNBC.
CNBC. Yes. So can you just run me through that?
Gallo is a fireball. Mm-hmm. This guy with very little resources has managed to build such a brand. Mm-hmm. And his fire is contagious, right? Mm-hmm. So recently we spoke about a year and a half ago, and we struck this partnership. We became partners with Centurion, and we're taking them with us all over the world. So Sigma in Sao Paulo, Sigma in Manila, Sigma in Dubai, Sigma in Limassol, Sigma in Malta. They come with us and they're touring this mixed martial art tournament with us. The online gaming industry gets to see what's going on. The sports betting industry especially gets an interest in rubbing shoulders with Centurion. So they have been going from strength to strength since this partnership.
The initial partnership.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Hopefully we'll have some basketball as well at Sigma, given the investment that took place in the pavilion and the outdoor, also the outdoor courts, because of small nations last June.
Correct. Right? We support the Malta Basketball Association. We're one of their main sponsors. So far, no basketball. We do basketball throughout the year. Every Friday in the National Basketball Pavilion, we host aficionados of basketball every morning, Friday morning. During Sigma, there's nothing, but there's a lot more other stuff going on. There's a football tournament, there's a fun run in Valletta, there's a pedal tournament.
Got involved. You're supporting a pretty good basketball club on the island as well.
Correct.
Well coached, in my opinion. We both know who the coach is. So good luck and well done for investing also in local sports. You've invested in sports locally, but you're also invested in a number of other areas, especially recently, Eman, Affiliate World. Your investment in the Brazilian iGaming Summit, which, given what's going on in Brazil, you could also say, let's say a long-term vision, is actually now producing the fruits that you wished.
Yes.
And the recent investment in Casinobi. Why these investments? What, if I may ask, the strategy behind them, where do you wish to go?
That's a loaded question.
I know.
There's a lot to unpack in that question. Sigma Group, as I told you before, right, since COVID, is not just about events. We're a media company. We send traffic to all the online operators. We keep them happy with our traffic. And the acquisition of Casinobi strengthens our media proposition, right? We send thousands of players to the operators in the gaming industry. So that acquisition was part to strengthen our media. The acquisition of Affiliate World is one that's very close to my heart. 10 years ago, with my now wife, then girlfriend, I had gone to this conference in Bangkok. It was a conference purely dedicated to affiliates, those folks that send traffic to operators. And it's not just gaming, it's all verticals. Nutra, Forex. I was blown away by the energy in the room of this conference. So it gives me immense pleasure that 10 years down the line, I get to speak to the founders of this conference and enter the agreement to purchase 30% of this company. But not just the acquisition itself. What makes this deal particularly interesting is the fact that their conference, Affiliate World, which takes place in Barcelona, Dubai, and Bangkok, they're going to move their three shows with three shows of Sigma. And this is the interesting part. All the operators coming to Sigma will now have the peace of mind that in the same city with Sigma, where our conference is being held, there's going to be another 5,000 affiliates who go to Affiliate World who are going to be roaming the city, likely coming to Sigma as well. And that to me has a lot of value because it's going to keep all the operators extremely happy and asking for more.
So you're almost, so you're creating the ideal ecosystem to see the business grow.
Absolutely. Well, with more affiliates, we're going to have happier operators. Happier operators means more operators are coming. If there's more operators, more providers, game vendors, platform providers, more CSPs, more of those guys will be coming because the operators now are there and thriving. So I think we have managed to strike a deal that's going to see us go from strength to strength in 2024.
That's great. That's great. So just so that to recap, Sigma Week, when Malta Week, when will that be taking place?
13th to the 17th of November.
13th to the 17th of November. You've got, what, 5-6 weeks left to finalize. Not a lot.
Yeah, there's...
We'll be ready. Don't worry.
There's a lot. And look, if you ask me the same question, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, when we were growing fast and the team hadn't yet solidified. You know, it's like food. Good food takes time to cook. Mm-hmm. Great wine takes years to make. And it's the same with my team, right? Emily is the biggest backbone that we have in the company. And in her, I have full trust. I can sleep at night knowing that Sigma and Malta is in good hands. But not only. Sigma can thrive worldwide. So I don't need to waste time playing defense. Mm-hmm. I can go out there and score goals with those acquisitions, which you have mentioned before.
I understand. You've mentioned there's a lot of emphasis on work. I'll start with Emily, then I'll carry on with you. Emily, how do you retain focus? Because it's a heavy load. It's a huge responsibility. But every now and again, you need to find a way to detach, to switch off. Because even when you switch off, you're sort of reorganizing your thoughts. At least that is what I find. How do you manage to, let's say, switch off?
Finding the balance, I suppose. Well, occasionally when I'm asleep. No, I think it's not as hard as you would think to find that balance. If you enjoy the work, you don't need to get away from it, to relax. As in, even if you're working, you can still be enjoying it.
But do you, when you're working, do you have time to think about what you want to do in the future? As in, where do you want to take Sigma, for example, from your point of view? Where should Sigma be going?
Absolutely. If you consider...
Strategize.
Consider how big the company has now become. Consider how many employees there are. Consider how strong our department leaders have become. It does allow us a lot more opportunity to sit down and brainstorm and come up with creative ways of not just growing, but improving the quality and making sure that it's growing the way we want it to grow.
Okay. Eman, you used to relax by playing basketball. I remember you're also a very good long jumper. Or
triple jump.
Today, I've seen you at work in Cyprus. How important to you is sports in, let's say, switching off? And let's also use the word, how do you maintain your mental health through sports? Mm.
Yeah, great question. I've been doing this for 10 years now, right? Sigma is entering its 10-year anniversary. And it wasn't always smooth, right? At times, when you're not following a regime, you know, when things are not organized, it can get to you, right?
When you're building the path yourself.
Things start taking a toll on you. Mm-hmm. But if you do things the right way. So, for example, now I have a really beautiful routine in the morning. I wake up at 5:30. 2 kids, I spend time with my kids. We make breakfast and then we dress them up for school.
A quick time out. Eman makes an awesome toasted sandwich in the morning.
Thank you. Thank you. My kids agree with you. So, time with the kids. Then I do either gym or swim a bit in the pool. And afterwards, I do Russian lessons. So I have a teacher who comes at home and teaches me Russian for 1 hour. So I feel by 9 o'clock, 9:30, I have had so much done, right? And that sets the tone for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
If you have lazy mornings, like if I wake up, and I've done this before, right? We're all guilty of it. Mm-hmm. Come on. And you're just staying on your phone, wasting time.
You're
on
in your
bloody
bed,
TikTok.
In your...
You stay in your bed and 1 hour and a half passed, you know, and all you've done is procrastinate on social media. That is just setting yourself to a downward spiral, right? So it's just being disciplined the first few hours.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be surprised how how your eating patterns, your sleeping patterns, everything just has a cascade effect, right? So yeah, I found that routine in the morning to be extremely helpful for me.
Last question. This one's for you, Em. Without mentioning names, but you have what I would call a wall of shame in your office in Cyprus. All the refusals. I'm not mentioning names. What I'm going to ask you about is the following. Again, with the sports in mind. You see so many people, so many top athletes who sometimes even invent stories just to fuel their let's say, appetite to go out even stronger.
Yeah.
You don't need to invent anything because you have this wall of shame. How many times do you look at that wall and say, you know what? Up yours. I've done it.
Yeah. The wall of shame. without mentioning names. I frame those quotes, those nasty emails, those rejections that I have faced throughout the years, right? From in my journey with Sigma. And that controlled anger, you know,
yes,
which really frustrates you at the time. But by letting it fuel you to do even more, to go even higher, I think it's a very important skill to master. If you want to launch a business, if you want to do something great, it's important to harness that anger into more productivity, right? And that wall reminds me that all those instances of failure are just learning lessons, right? They're not failures.
It's a failure from their end because they didn't recognize it, my opinion.
Yeah, so it's a constant reminder that, listen, there's going to be more of those bumps along the way. It's just how I tackle them, how I harness that energy to propel me a bit even further.
Emily, it was a pleasure having you. I wish you the best of luck, Emily,
Thank you. Your
new role, for the show in Malta. We'll be seeing each other. And Eman, good luck and keep that fuel going. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair.